Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi folks, thanks for joining us. It's Ian Jamieson here with Ange. There's a few on the call, but that's great. So we're going to go a question each to start with, I think. And we've got a long list here, but we'll just kick off if you're good, yeah? Colin Watt, would you like to go first, Colin?
Sure, thanks Ian. Hi Ange, how's it going?
I'm good, thanks. Colin, how are you, mate?
Yeah, doing good. Just before I ask the question, just wanted to pass the condolences on after the sad loss of Betty yesterday to his family and all of the Celtic family. So very sad to see that. But the question to you, Ange, you spoke at the start of the season about this being a long-term project, and the project has different phases to it. You'd say maybe phase one was the summer window, getting the players in, and then behind the scenes bringing in guys like Anton McElhon into the sports science department. As we approach phase two of this with the January transfer window coming, what do you see as the focuses for yourself and your team, both on and off the park, as we enter phase two of the project?
Yeah, so I guess from my perspective, even though, as you said, I go into every sort of new opportunity or new job with a vision for the long term, but totally understanding there's some short-term objectives we need to attain as well, particularly at a club like this. So, I was very reticent to sort of talk too much about the medium and long-term objectives of the club, because I didn't want people to think that we were dismissing what was before us. And as we all know, the early part of the season is a really important part of the season for this football club, both in Europe and domestically. So, my thoughts and probably my sort of remarks have been about the present, because I still think that's the most important part of what I'm doing. But beyond that, as you said, we went through the initial window. We're bringing in the right type of players for the football I want to play was important. And, it was a busy period as well chronicled. And then also sort of assessing the organisation here in terms of the staff and the infrastructure. And as you said, we brought Anton in, who's been a fantastic addition. Before that, I was very comfortable with the staff we have here and their ability to work in the manner that I want and set the environment like I want and be able to sort of execute the plans I want. So that meant that I could sort of look beyond what's here and see the gaps we have. And there's no doubt going into January, as I said, we've still got some work to do with the playing roster, particularly in terms of depth in certain areas. And then, I think in terms of the structure around here, I still think we need some work around our, recruiting and a whole sort of scouting department and that area. And that'll sort of be the next sort of focus for me to make sure that, we get the right people in that area so that we, it's probably the one area where, football is changing rapidly in terms of the information that's out there and how you get that information and how you use that information around, particularly around scouting. So that's kind of the next step for me in terms of sort of January.
Well, thanks very much for your time, Ange, and all the best for Saturday.
Cheers, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Colin. Celso here.
Hi, Ange. How you doing?
Good, mate.
The Celtic fans have, of course, fallen in love with Jota. Do you expect any movement on that deal in January, or will the club and the player wait until the end of the season to get that finalised?
Look, I think with all those kind of issues, Wallace, I know that, you know, people sort of get really excited. I tend to, again, let those kind of things happen naturally because, you know, for me what's important is when I signed, say, and Jota's probably a good example, was I wasn't just signing someone who I thought had talent. I was signing someone who really wanted to come to this football club. That's really important for me because I think this football club gives you a unique stage if you're an ambitious footballer because you get to play in front of big crowds in a fantastic atmosphere. You get to play in Europe. You're constantly challenged every week to be successful because this football club demands that. So for me, it wasn't just about signing talented footballers. It's signing players who can fit the style but also who want to be here. And that extends to, you know, whether we keep people here. You know, for me, the situation with Jota or anyone else who's here is that if both parties want this to continue, I think we'll make it continue. But, you know, I'm not going to be jumping at you know, situations for any other reason that I think it's the best thing for this football club. And, you know, Jota's enjoying his football here. He's loving the club. He's loving his teammates, the way we play. He loves, you know, playing in front of our supporters. If that continues, then, and he wants to stay at this football club, then we'll make, I'm sure, you know, we'll start those negotiations and come to an agreement that that's not going to, you know, satisfy everyone because I think, you know, people just think you should, you know, just sign players as soon as they show some potential. But as I said, for me, what's more important is that we have footballers here who appreciate what they have, and Jota is certainly doing that at the moment. So I can't give you timelines. All I can say is if it continues as it is, then, you know, I'm sure he'll be part of this football club beyond this season.
Thanks very much, Ange, for your time.
Thank you, mate.
Patrick Loughlin.
Hi, Ange. How are we doing there?
Good, mate.
Good stuff, man. One of the questions I've got to ask then is, obviously, it's been 5 months since you've arrived at Celtic, and understand your understanding of our league, of this, the size of this team there. But one of the things I would want to know is, how are you finding life over here in Scotland? How are you finding the furore with the fans, and what obviously they bring to the club and what they bring to yourself? And are you settling in? And most of all, are you loving it here at Celtic?
It doesn't feel like 5 months, mate. I'll tell you that. It's probably the question people ask me most is, you know, sort of, hey, you know, how long I've been here? I've got no idea because it feels like I've been here forever, but it also feels like I've been here a minute because, you know, of everything that's happened. Life's great. I really can't complain. You know, obviously, yeah, I came here understanding the responsibility I have as football manager of this, you know, great club, and I take that very seriously, and my focus has totally been there, and I'm lucky because I've got a real supportive family, particularly my wife, who understands that, you know, in these initial stages, that's where my mind's going to be pretty much all the time. And, you know, that's not a sacrifice for me. It's what I'm really passionate about and love. So, you know, I've settled in really well. The fans, the football club, everyone at the football club have, you know, embraced me from day one, which has been equally sort of humbling as it has been exciting for me because, you know, I know that I have not yet sort of probably earned the support I'm getting because we haven't achieved anything yet, which again is a great incentive for me to give back and try and bring success to this football club. And generally life, it's great. As I said, my wife and my kids have settled really well. people have been really good to me, just in the general public, or, you know, people sort of say you've got to be a little bit wary. It's just not my nature. We know we'll go out and about and do the things that normal families do. And if we bump into people, and I'm happy to say hello, and everyone's been, you know, super kind and super generous. You know, I often say you folk don't understand just how friendly and welcoming you are in comparison to the rest of the world. So I've been invited to numerous people's houses who I've only just met. So, you know, it's been great. But at the same time, as I said, I don't take the responsibility I have for granted in any way, shape or form. I know why I'm here. And it's not something that's about fulfilling myself personally. It's about contributing to this great football club and its supporters, and hopefully bringing some happy times here.
Brilliant, mate. All the best.
Thanks, bud.
Thanks, Patrick. Paul at Celtic Fans TV. Hello, Paul. And we'll come back. Danny at Paul. Danny.
Yeah, good afternoon, and thanks for your time.
Pleasure, mate.
Ange, question for me really is, it's clear that momentum's been building over the last period of weeks. A really tough run of fixtures that feels like we've come out in a really good place. I think what's been clear is a real togetherness, the players, the management and the fans. Certainly the last number of away games that I've been at, I'm really starting to see that come through. And you hear a lot about in football how important that is, that the fans and the players and the management team have got that connection and that togetherness. But from your perspective, why is that important? How does that help?
Oh, look, it's essential. You can't have success without it. You know, people sort of talk about it in many different forms. They'll talk about it, the sort of team spirit or a culture. But, you know, unless you're a total unified force as a football club, it's very hard to have success because you're kind of then relying on, you know, so many factors from an individual perspective that for it all to come together, it becomes insurmountable. We know how challenging it is to have success anyway, but being unified was essential for me. And I guess the key for me was we had, you know, 12 new players arrive in a dressing room, you know, quite significant personalities and characters had left the dressing room. So, you know, you kind of know there's going to be some, trepidation there amongst the players as to how quickly they gel and they get to know one another. Same with the staff. I mean, I walked in on my own without, additional staff, but, you know, they still had to get to know me. And obviously I'm in a significant position here, and I'm sure that they sort of tread warily around me, all the staff, until they got to know me. So we had to do all that quickly. And then I think what's been pleasing is that players and staff have embraced that challenge of trying to gel as quickly as possible. It's hard when you've been thrown together as strangers to do that, but there's been a common purpose there. And obviously Cal's been a big part of that, you know, him being the leader in the dressing room in particular, of just making sure that all the new players settle as quickly as possible, feel comfortable, create the right environment in the dressing room where it's not just about, you know, obviously we're coming here to be driven and ambitious, but also to understand that we need to rely on each other we've brought in some more senior players, Joe Hart, and guys, even guys like Nero Bitton and Tommy Rogic, who have been here a while. Those kind of people are really important to creating that. And then the key for me then became with the fans, you know, and I said the players from day one, I just sensed that the fans, if they saw us playing the football that I wanted us to play, they'll forgive us in the short term for any mistakes or inconsistencies if we're at it for 90, 95 minutes, if we're going at oppositions, if we're getting them up off their seats, if we're getting them excited, the fans will buy into that. And pretty much from day one, and you guys all know we haven't been the most consistent from the first day. What has been consistent is that the supporters have been right behind the team. And that's great because the boys are feeding off that. I know they are. You know, they're looking forward to every game, home and away, knowing that, you know, the support's right behind them and that energy can drive them on. So hugely important. Again, it's still in the early stages, something we need to grow. And it's a challenging thing because, you know, I don't want players to become comfortable here either. It's making them understand, as you said, we've been through a really good period, but it means absolutely nothing if we go flat again. We got to drive on and be better in this period than we were in the last. And, you know, that's my job to make sure that, you know, yeah, I can drive everyone in this organisation to reach their potential.
Good looking, Sadly. Thank you.
Erin. Hi, Erin.
Hi, Ange. Thanks very much for your time.
Pleasure.
Since you've joined Celtic, you've clearly demonstrated how much you've bought into the ethos and the core beliefs held by much of the support and what Celtic truly means. The Celtic supporters are a poetic group of supporters with a close connection to their faith and heritage, which you would have seen last week at the Tommy Burns story, and I'm sure you would agree there wasn't a dry eye in the room. After attending the play, how much did the story and the atmosphere in the room help to further your understanding of Celtic, and what did you take away from the play, both from a managing and a personal perspective?
Yeah, look, in terms of buying into sort of the ethos and the culture, I haven't had to do that too much because it's just fairly closely aligned to my own beliefs and my own sort of upbringing. So I felt comfortable from day one. I knew I would because I kind of understood the football club I was walking into. And so it was a lot easier for me for maybe to understand, you know, the kind of culture and the kind of football and the kind of person that this football club wants to be at sort of in this sort of position, because as I said, it's closely aligned to my own beliefs, my own values, my own upbringing. So I guess that's with those kind of things, it resonates more when it's more natural than I think for me trying to, you know, persuade people of that I believe in this. So yes, I think that's probably the primary reason that maybe people have responded positively to me in the position. In terms of the play, yeah, it was fantastic. Loved every minute of it. You know, obviously well aware of Tommy Burns and his story, but you know, the people putting on the production, it was obviously something very close to their hearts, and you know, they played it that way. You know, what came through is, I think I said a couple of days after, is you can admire the accomplishments and the achievements, but it's the man that sort of breaks through. And I said that about sort of Ferenc Puskas when I got to spend time with him, that these great people, the greatest people, are the ones who stack up as men or women rather than just their achievements. And you can see with Tommy Burns, it's a reason that, you know, people hold him in such high regard. Unfortunately, you know, we lost Birdie yesterday. And again, you just read what people have to say about the man, not the player. There's a great lesson there for everyone, I think, not just me. I think for every person out there, that being a decent human being, irrespective of your achievements or your status in life, goes a long way to ensuring that you do leave the right sort of legacy for yourself, your family, and your name.
Absolutely, Ange. Thank you, and good luck for Saturday.
Thank you.
Thanks, Erin. David Flanagan. David.
Hi, Ange. Dave from the Sanic here.
Hey, Dave.
In your book, Changing the Game, you frequently circle back to the importance of this idea of, in your own words, finding meaning in everything that you do, both inside and outside of football. Could you expand on this idea and how it influences you as both a Celtic manager and your day-to-day on the pitch, but also for your long-term vision for the club and your players?
Yeah, I appreciate you reading the book. Look, it's central to what I do, to be honest. I mean, and I don't keep it a secret because I talk about it to the players every day. You know, I think as much as people talk about the tangible things, I guess, in life, and particularly in sport, in football. You come to a club like Celtic, and you know, everyone makes you well aware that you're expected to win every week and expect to have success. And you know, everyone talks about that incessantly, not just at this football club, but in sport in general and football. But my view on that is that you've got to find meaning beyond just winning. You know, winning can't be the end game because everybody wants to win. For me, what's more important is how do you want to attain that? You know, how you want to attain that victory? How do you want to attain that success? You know, in what manner? With what kind of football? With what kind of behaviour? What kind of team do you want to be? What kind of people do you want to be? How do you want to represent yourself? That's much more important. And I think when you nail that, and that's what I've tried to do throughout my career, then you're more than likely to create something special because people are driven by more than just getting 3 points or getting a victory in a game of football. Because obviously when you're meeting an opponent, you know, who's equally determined to get those 3 points, often, you know, what wins is the team that has something greater driving them than just getting those 3 points. So for me, it's always been about, in a football context, well, you know, the football we play. I just don't want to win. I want to win playing a certain way. And I drive my players and my staff to do that every day so that there'll be games we win where we walk away and we're disappointed because we didn't play the football we want. Other days we'll be disappointed we didn't win, but understanding we're on the right road because we played the kind of football we wanted to play. So that's where it becomes really important for me. And I guess that's, yeah, as I said to the players, that's every day. That's, you know, if you can find meaning in the way you live your life, because if the motivation is just to make money or to have fame or to, you know, do those things, well, you know, there wouldn't be a person on earth who wants to do that. But if there's meaning behind what you do, then those kind of things come to you anyway.
Thanks for your time, Ange.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, dude. Declan McConville.
Good afternoon, Ange. Just to ask you, you'll have realised the strength and depth of feelings and emotions that Celtic fans have towards the heroes and legends, particularly after you attended the play last week. You'll probably read a lot about Bertie Auld the past day, and I read what Callum McGregor had to say just earlier on. How important is legends and former Celtic players to have visible in and around the club, especially for youth players breaking through the ranks?
It's important for everyone, not just youth players. I mean, I've walked into here and I've just had a chat to Danny McGrain, and I just had a sit down before that and spoke to John Clark about his. I mean, it's, you know, I pinch myself sometimes because I'll bump into these guys and, you know, you kind of realise, again, what a privileged position we're in. So it's not just for the youth players, it's for every person, every player that comes, every staff member that comes through here. That, you know, when you walk into a club like Celtic, irrespective of your position, you kind of feel, you know, you're walking a little bit taller and you feel like you're a little bit stronger, and particularly in a position like mine. But that doesn't come from what I bring to it. That comes from the fact that I'm coming to it, you know, standing on the shoulders of giants. You know, you're in an elevated position because of the people that have come before you and created this. You know, I understand that it's past players, managers, supporters, the founders of this football club that create what it is here today. And, you know, you walk out in front of 60,000 at Celtic Park. I didn't create that. We didn't create that, the ones who are here now. What we can do is try to sort of honour that and bring our own little bit to it, but also always understanding that whatever success that we bring, this current group to this football club, it's on the shoulders of some absolute giants that have come before us. And, you know, having them around is a constant reminder of that, should you need it. I think that's the one thing that this football club does probably better than most, is that it understands its past, it heralds its past and rightly places it in the highest possible position of this football club.
Thanks, Tim.
All the very best for Saturday, Ange.
Thanks, mate.
Hamish?
Hi, Ange.
Hey, Hamish.
The vast majority of signings you've made in the summer have really already made an impact at the club. But I wanted to ask you about three who maybe haven't played as much. The two boys from Sheffield Wednesday, Liam Shaw, Asazi Origidi, and also James McCarthy. How have they settled into life at the club? And could we see loan deals possibly for Shaw and Origidi in January?
Yeah, look, I am pleased with sort of the majority how they've settled in so far. It's been to be fair to all the players, the new ones, and even some of the existing ones, it's been a bit of a baptism of fire for them because we've just thrown them in and knowing that they're going to be measured straight away against, as I've just spoken about, past teams, past players. So it certainly hasn't been an easy introduction to for any of our players. And the fact that so many of them have already sort of hit the ground running and made an impact is great and positive. The key to that is to keep going, obviously, because, we're only sort of in the early stages of developing this football team and our players. With the three guys you've mentioned, all different sort of scenarios. Asazi and Liam, difficult for them in the fact that, sometimes when you bring in young players, and they certainly players we brought in as sort of development players, much easier to bring those kinds in when the team is settled. But obviously, we brought them in at a time where, a lot of new players are in the team. The team's still finding its way. And unfortunately, we haven't been able to get a lot of game time for them, but they're working hard at training every day. They're pushing themselves. I believe even though they haven't played, they've improved as footballers. And, if you train every day with us, one thing I will say is you will improve. And it's about now getting them the right opportunity. They may be here. They may be, as you said, a loan deal somewhere. We'll make those decisions. Come January, we'll sit down with the boys and see what their best sort of way forward is. But, every day, like I said, I believe they're improving. They're working hard. They've got great attitudes. And, football's a funny thing. Sometimes it's very difficult to kind of align yourself with opportunities and the timing of them. They come along sometimes when you're least expected, as I said to players, consistently. Just be ready for it when it comes. And those two are. With James McCarthy, it's a little bit different. Look, people have to be sort of a little bit I don't like making excuses for the players because, again, it's, they understand the responsibilities they have. But especially guys like James McCarthy, Jacko Marcus is in that sort of category as well. We signed them when they weren't with clubs. They'd already left their football clubs. They hadn't done a pre-season. They've been training on their own. The difference between them and Kyogo came straight off a season, but Jota was doing pre-season. The likes of Carter Vickers were still playing with Tottenham games. So all these got other players who've sort of hit the ground running and are doing well, either had pre-season with us, came in very early. Liala Bada was another example. He came in very early, got a good pre-season with us. Even though we threw him in quickly, he's had more time. But James and Jacko Marcus are probably the two. They came in late. They hadn't done pre-season. Any footballer will tell you missing pre-season is the most crucial part of the year. So we just got to be patient with them and, give them time to sort of get up to speed. They're both, training hard. They're both ready and available. They both had some little injuries, which is not surprising considering the fact they didn't do pre-season. And, people aren't here every day, but we train really hard. The intensity and tempo of training is super tough. And, it takes players different sort of times to get adjusted to that. So they're here, they're working hard, and James will get an opportunity. And I'm sure when he does, when he's ready, he'll show his quality.
Thanks, Angel. The best.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, John Reed. John?
Hi, Angel.
Hi, John.
I'd just like to ask her about Kyogo. He's obviously started excellently for the team this season, but he played a lot of football, obviously, last season in the J-League, so he's played a lot of football this calendar year. Is that something you're going to have to take into account, especially in the second half of the season, to make sure he doesn't get burned out and can play as many games as possible for us?
Yeah, people haven't taken too kindly to me resting him so far, so I guess it's not the most popular way forward. But, yeah, look, as I've always said, I understand that there's this sort of urgency to do certain things, but I'm pretty methodical kind of guy. There's science behind everything we try and do, and I listen to the guys who are working in the medical teams, in the sports science department, my coaches, the people who spend time. And there are times we need to just be really mindful of, you know, that these guys aren't robots. If we want them performing at the highest possible levels, then we've got to be making sure we look after them from a physical and even a sort of psychological perspective. Because as you said, Kyogo, you know, I think he's second top goal scorer still in Japan. I mean, he played a hell of a lot of games there, and he's had international games. We know he's had an injury. He's come back here. So now you wouldn't know it talking to him, because he wants to play all the time. He wants to train all the time. He's constantly smiling. But, you know, we've got to look beyond that, because he's not just here for 3 or 4 months. You know, we want him here for a long time and establishing himself as a fantastic player for this football club. So, yeah, we're not just with him, with all our players, we're constantly monitoring them. I think the fact that we have a mid-season break is going to be helpful to us, particularly for someone like Kyogo. I think with a bit of luck, we'll get him through to that period without missing too much football. And then, you know, there's a good time for us to give him a bit of a spell, which it'd be the normal time for him. That's the end of the J-League season as well. So he'd be looking for a bit of time off. So, but with all these decisions, you know, sometimes, as I said, I think people probably get a little bit frustrated or disappointed when we make those decisions, or I make those decisions. But I don't always get them right, but I'm always making sure that I'm using every bit of information I have before making them, and using every bit of knowledge I have. So they're not made without any other thought than what I think's best for the player and the club.
Thanks, Ange. Good luck on Saturday.
Thanks, bud.
Thanks, John. David Paul, David.
Hi, Ange. How are you?
I'm good, Dave.
Can I ask you for a comparison between Japanese football and Scottish football, after you've been here for a number of months now, in terms of the culture, the way the games are reported, the standard of football? For instance, could you see a player from the Scottish League being transferred and being a success in the J-League?
Yeah, look, some similarities, a lot of differences, a lot of cultural differences, just different countries. I lived there, you know, with my family for almost 4 years. We loved our time in Japan. It's a different, different kind of, as I said, culture, a different kind of environment. But again, people very, very respectful and embraced us in Japan, but different to here. You know, I didn't get invited to people's houses in Japan when I met them, but they were equally as welcoming in different ways. So, but both, you know, both in terms of the football, I enjoyed my experience in Japan. The level, the technical level of the game there is great. The crowds are great. You know, we were averaging 35,000-40,000 pre-COVID at Yokohama, and they get right into it. They sing their songs. Again, it's different because in comparison, you know, their football clubs are maybe 30 years in existence. You know, they don't have the history, they don't have the culture, they don't have, you know, the stories that we're talking about here. So there's a different feel to it, but equally as passionate. As I said, the standard of football is very good. They've got some, you know, quality both Japanese players and foreigners that keep the standard high. It's a bigger league. There's obviously, I think there was 20 teams this year, but it's an 18-team league usually, and very, very competitive for the most part. You know, I can see, yeah, I mean, I definitely can see, you know, Scottish players, you know, but they'd have to be the best Scottish players to go over there and make an impact, because the general level of Japanese players is very high. So when they bring imports in, they expect them to be of the highest possible quality. So it's not an easy league for foreigners to go into, to be fair. But aside from that, I mean, I like I said, I enjoyed my time. In the case of how it's reported, you got a lot more pundits here, let me tell you, and a lot of more pundits who are ex-players of clubs. So I do that's certainly very, very different from the way it gets reported in Japan. And it's, I guess for me, it's entertaining at the moment because it's kind of new to me after the 4 years of a relatively reserved media back in Japan to what we're getting here. But as I said, it's all part of the fun, and I'm enjoying it. But as an experience for me, it was priceless. It's what I love about football. You know, I love you can go to a different country, different culture, and they still love football as much as anyone else, as people here. And you know, I love that that common thread of the passion for this game is throughout the world.
Thanks, Ange.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, Dave.
Scott McCrory. Scott.
Well, Ange.
Hey, Scott.
First off, hope you and yours are all well, and thanks for taking the time to speak to us.
Pleasure.
David's question is actually a nice wee segue into mine, to be honest. Ange, so you played and you managed to a pretty high level in a continent that is often looked down upon by Europeans to their detriment. And in bearing in mind, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, I think you're proving you've got an eye for a player. So with that in mind, do you believe there's any nations or league that are basically untapped and could and maybe should be looked at in the future for European clubs and more importantly Celtic?
Yeah, no, I guess, you know, obviously the majority of my football sort of career and life has been on the other side of the world. And, you know, I've seen football grow in that region, particularly in Asia, particularly over the last sort of 15, 20 years. And it's kind of snuck up a little bit on the world. I think you see it in football in general. I mean, you even look at the qualifiers, you know, the World Cup qualifiers now, and you'll see nations all of a sudden competing for World Cup spots that, you know, 20 years ago we used to sort of dismiss as minnows of the world. And very few countries like that exist here in Europe. And I think particularly European clubs are taking notice of that. But I still think there's a little bit of a blind spot when it comes to Asia. There's some top quality players already from Japan and probably South Korea, the two biggest nations who are already fantastic talents that have proven themselves at the highest possible level. And there's definitely more there. I know it. I've lived it. The technical level of the players from that side of the world, their discipline, the way they sort of think about their football careers, they're very, very focused. I think what they've maybe lacked in the past, and you know, Asian players in particular, is that sometimes they've been wary of taking that leap across the world, the other side of the world, into the unknown in terms of culture, in terms of these kind of things. And as more and more Japanese players and South Korean in particular players have made it here, I think that's encouraged them that they can make that leap and feel confident about it. Iran's another nation that's got some fantastic footballers. So, look, I don't want to say too much because I want to sort of corner the market ourselves. So I don't want to give too much away, but there's definitely talent, and I think you'll see more and more of it sort of filtering through to clubs on this side of the world. I think you'll even see it in terms of world football, in a world football context. When you see some of these nations at World Cups, they'll start improving their results, and more people will take notice for sure.
Outstanding. Thank you very
Thanks,
much,
Scott.
Ryan Fitzsimmons. Ryan.
Hi, Ange. Pleasure.
You too, mate.
The last 5 years at Hampden has been incredibly successful for Celtic, winning multiple trophies. So how excited are you to manage at Hampden for the first time, given the chance to as well secure your first cup final with the club?
Yeah, super excited. Looking forward to it. As you said, this football club's been a regular participant and visitor to Hampden in recent years, and everyone tells me it's a fantastic experience. So looking forward to it tremendously, and I'm sure the players are, because again, we've got the majority of our players, it'll be their first time experiencing it as well. So we understand it's a massive game for us in terms of the context of the season. We've done well to get us to this stage. I guess that was my sort of, not concern, but my biggest focus in the early part of the year was that I didn't want our inconsistency to cost us down the line, whether that was in Europe or in the cup or even in the league, that I knew we'd be up and down in the early parts because of having so many new players playing a different way, me being the new manager. There were some key games we need to hit, and we had that game against Hearts in the first round of the cup. It was really important at that time that we won that, because it kept us alive in this competition, because I knew that eventually we'd hit our straps. It was the same in Europe, even though we missed out on the Champions League, really important for us to get in the Europa League and just hang in there. And we've done that. And the same in the league. We obviously, we dropped a couple of games early on, which, you don't want to happen. But for me, I kind of knew that was going to be our challenge. So the fact we kept ourselves alive in all those things, and now, hopefully we're definitely more settled and we're playing, fairly consistently now. I'm super pleased that we're giving ourselves an opportunity to play in a semi-final and then progress to hopefully a cup final. So, great to be in this position. Now the job is to push on and make sure we take advantage of the opportunity that we've given ourselves by just hanging in there. And as I said, credit to the players and staff that, they hung tough through that early period, and, now it's up to us to sort of take it to the next step.
Thanks very much, Ange. Best of luck.
Thank you, mate.
Martin? 20-minute terms, Martin.
Hey, Ange, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Martin.
We've come a long way since the start of the season, but how would you rate both yours and the team's performances so far this season? How far away are the team from being where you want them to be?
It's not something I kind of consciously try and measure or look at. I mean, I think what I have been pleased about, as I said just now, is that the players in particular, because they're the ones in the difficult position of being out there, they've shown real resilience to get through the sticky patches we've had. And that's a good sign for me, because it shows that whatever challenges we're going to have ahead, and we're always going to have challenges at this football club, we've already shown that we've got, apart from our football, the character within the team to keep pushing on and believing in what we're doing. As you said, we've improved a lot. We started at a fairly low base because we were a brand new team. But at some point, it's not now, and it might not be for another 20 years when I'm sitting on the beach with Ian somewhere in Mykonos. I look back at those two Michelin games, and the fact that we hung in there for so long in those two games, considering the majority of our signs hadn't even come to the club yet. We've thrown a lot of young guys in. We lost in extra time. And Michelin a lot more settled than we were. It wasn't that I thought there was a gap in the quality. They were just some good signs for me that we're up for a fight as a football club and as a team. And we've grown since then. So how far along are we? I don't know, because I don't know what the end point is. I want us to be the best team we can ever be. I don't know what that's going to look like. So what I do know is that we've improved, and my job is to make sure that we keep improving. So what we did the last sort of period was better than the period before, was better than the period before that. Well, my job is to make sure that when we get to that last period of this season, we're playing our best football of the year. If we're doing that, then we're giving ourselves a chance for success.
Thanks, mate. Best of luck.
Good on you, mate.
Thanks, Martin. I think finally we're going to go to Celtic fans TV again, if we can.
Yeah, yeah.
Paul, hi, Ange. Sorry, I got the wrong name. Paul, sorry.
Yeah. G'day, mate.
You've talked a bit about recruitment already today, but aside from technical ability, what are the key qualities that you look for in a player when judging whether they'll be a good fit for you and for Celtic?
Look, for me, a big part of it is sort of, and it's hard because it's very hard to measure when you're talking about, scouting players. It's just their character and their motivation, what it is. The way we play our football is not easy. You know, you're asking, you know, goalkeepers to play out from the back all the time. You're asking centre backs that, you know what, you're going to get between 60 and 80 passes a game. You know, you play in other teams, you might get 20 or 30, and most of the time you're just knocking it long. You know, I'm asking fullbacks to go into areas where, you know, they've probably never been their whole lives. So midfielders to think a bit differently, strikers to work out. So there's a real big expectation on guys who are prepared to do beyond what the conventional is. So, as I said, it's hard to measure and hard to distinguish sometimes, but, you know, all the players we've signed, I have conversations with, and I'll just try and see if I can pick up something in them that says to me that they're going to embrace what we're about. Because to be fair, like I said, there's a lot of talented footballers in the world, and sometimes the differences between them are super marginal, you know, for me, what then becomes important is what kind of person they are. Are they going to embrace what I want them from them that probably no one's ever asked of them before as footballers and as people more than anything, because it takes courage, yeah? It takes character. It takes, so many of those human qualities that got nothing to do with their ability as footballers to play the kind of football that, you know, I want them to play and I hope can be successful for this football club. So that's a key bit. And I think for the most part, like I said, we've got it right in terms of I've seen players, and not just with the ones who were bought in, but even the existing players, you know, guys like Tony and Cal and Turnbull, Tommy Rogic, these guys, they still have this burning desire to improve as footballers and take on the new information that we're giving them and about the way we want to play. So if it's just on their technical abilities, I could get, you know, a fantastic centre-back who just not interested in playing out from the back. That makes it impossible for me. It's, you know, square pegs, round holes, all that sort of stuff. So that's the bit I look for. Like I said, it's not an exact science and I don't always get it right. For me, it's a key sort of component of the people we bring to the football club.
Thanks, Ange. All the best.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, both. I think that's us, folks. Everyone's had a turn. If not, please shout. All good. Ange, thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Again.
Thanks, Ange.
Thank you. All the best. Take care.
All the best. Thank you. Thanks, Ange.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.